This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Wehner joins us here, Pirates broadcaster on the Fan Morning Show. He's going to make a habit of it at 9:30 on Tuesdays. John, good morning. How is everything?
Everything's good. Getting closer to opening day. Everything's great. Looking forward to getting the season started. Looking forward to coming home.
Yes, we're home. You'll be home soon enough, and the baseball season will get going, as you pointed out. All right, tell me this. What's the right way for you to put the infield defense? Are you concerned? Are you okay? Is it a work in progress? Categorize the infield defense for me.
It's going to be better than last year. That's the way I look at it. I think Jung Ho Gung has looked great at third base. He's got more range. He's not the fastest guy, but he's quick on his feet. Eric Gonzalez is rangy. He's going to cover more ground than Jordy Mercer. I don't know if he'll be as steady and as consistent. I mean, Mercer was a nice player and very consistent and didn't make very many mistakes, but he didn't cover as much ground as Eric Gonzalez is going to cover. He may make a few more errors because he's going to get to more balls, but he's also going to take more hits away. Left side, I think, is a big upgrade on the left side. There's much more range over there. When your strength as a team is the pitching staff, you want to make the plays that should be made behind you. And on that side, for sure, I think the team's going to be better. Second base, I think it's a wash. I think Frazier's going to be fine over there. He looks way better than he had his first year or so in the big leagues when he's played limitedly at second. And so I like Frazier, and Josh Bell is a work in progress. I think, he's an outfielder converted to be a first baseman, and it's always more difficult for an outfielder to come to the infield than it is an infielder to go to the outfield. And, I think for the most part, he'll make the routine play. His throwing at times could be an issue, but, I think he's improving as well. So I'm not concerned about the defense at all. I think the defense will be better this year than it was last year. How much better? Time will tell. We'll see. I mean, Jung Ho Gung hasn't played regularly for a couple of years. We really haven't seen Gonzalez. He hasn't had the opportunity to play every day at short. Neither has Adam Frazier. But in my opinion, from what I've seen so far, the infield defense will be better than a year ago.
When you look at the outfield, Rock, is there a concern that when Polanco comes back, his inability to really let loose and let fly with throws from right field is going to give opposition teams a chance to take the extra base, to tag up when they're basically going to have to, it feels like, double cut balls from the right field corner?
Anytime there's a shoulder injury, you have concerns. You don't think that arm strength is ever going to be what it was. And I think that, everybody is aware of that. And we'll see how strong that arm gets. The best thing as far as Gregory Polanco, there's a couple things. One, the right field PNC Park is very short. And so, guys aren't going to take as many liberties in right field because, he doesn't have as far to throw it, for one. Secondly, he can learn a lot from Corey Dickerson. Dickerson doesn't have a strong throwing arm, but what Corey Dickerson does, he gets to the ball with urgency, he gets rid of the ball with urgency, and he throws it to the right base. Anytime, and we even saw it last night with Dickerson, he cut a ball off and threw it into second base on what could have been a double, and the throw was offline, the throw wasn't strong, but he held the runner at first base. Anytime a base runner sees an outfielder get rid of the ball and throw it in front of them, it'll stop the runner from advancing. It won't take long, depending on how strong or not strong Polanco's arm is when he starts playing, for scouts to realize what kind of arm's out there, and teams will try to take liberties. Having said that, like I just mentioned, Dickerson won a gold glove last year, not because he had a strong arm, he has a below average arm, but because he got to it and got rid of it and threw it to the right place. If Polanco can do that, get to it quicker, get rid of it quicker, and throw it in front of the base runner, there's not going to be that many liberties taken. Now, with the runner at second base, on a base hit to right, will they try to score that runner more so this year than last? Yeah, they probably will. Will they be more successful? Time will tell. I haven't seen him throw. I don't know, you know, what the arm's going to look like, but anytime you can get rid of it quicker, you have a better chance.
John, can Nick Kingham continue to develop at the rate they want him to by being a swing guy or a six guy?
I think so. I mean, we saw inconsistency from him this year. He's had a couple rough starts. Last year we saw inconsistency. He went out and threw out nearly a perfect game his first start, and then he had his struggles. I don't think he's a guy that has a ton of swing and miss stuff, so he can't afford to make pitches or make mistakes in the middle of the plate or make mistakes up in the zone. But he has enough stuff, and I think he has good enough location when he's on to be successful in whatever role. He's been stretched out to where, you know, if you need a spot starter, he can go into the rotation and pitch in that role. And he also has good enough stuff to come in middle relief and gobble up innings if you need him to do that. And so, but his success is going to depend on, you know, the location and how he pitches. I mean, he can't afford, I don't think, to pitch behind the count. I don't think he can afford to pitch in the middle of the plate. And so the better his command, the better his results will be.
John Wehner with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Are we too worried about the offense, John, or is that the biggest part of the equation here for this team is the 2019 season's now 2 days away?
Well, I think that will go hand-in-hand with the pitching. I think if you have an average offense, which the Pirates were just below average offensively last year, they weren't a horrible offense. They didn't hit a lot of home runs, but runs scored, I think they were a little less than average, but not by much. If the pitching is elite and the pitching is as good as advertised, you don't have to score as many runs. Having said that, I expect this team to score more runs than they did a year ago. I mean, when you're looking at what Dickerson did last year, what Marte did last year, and he's capable of more. Polanco, if he can come out of the chute in May or whenever he returns and hit the way he did in the second half last year, I mean, you got three really good outfielders. Chung Ho Gung, the middle infield, Frazier is Frazier, and he's going to continue to hit, and he's going to hit some homers. Gonzalez is a question mark. Chung Ho Gung and Josh Bell, to me, will be the key. Cervelli will do his thing behind the plate, and Diaz, when he gets back, I mean, that's the only position where I think, can they do what they did last year, or are they going to take a little bit of a step back? Who knows? But I'm fine there. The corner infield's, to me, are two middle of the lineup bats. I'm guessing they're going to hit fourth and sixth. Bell clean up, Gung sixth, and to me that's the key. Chung Ho Gung did not have a great spring, despite the seven home runs. I thought that he was a little bit off timing wise, a little behind the fastball, a little bit ahead of the breaking ball at times. He struck out a lot. Until the last three or four days, he's locked in right now. This guy, I want the season to start tomorrow for him, because this guy looks really good right now. And a couple of balls he hit out of the ballpark, his last two home runs were absolute missiles. One down and away fastball that he hit out the right center, like a left-handed, like a Polanco would have hit a ball to right center field. That's how much pop this guy has. And right now he's seeing the ball well. So I think this guy, you know, if he could stay healthy and he gets out there, he could be the wild card. He could be the 25 to 35 home run guy. Bell, to me, is key. If you got two middle lineup bats that could hit the ball at the ballpark and be consistent, this offense is way better just with those two guys. And that's not putting pressure on them, but they're both capable of doing major damage in the middle lineup. And I still think this offense is very capable, and it could be above average. And above average is plenty if this starting staff and this bullpen is as good as advertised. For me, getting them over the hump and making a huge leap forward, I think will depend on the corner infielders.
John, got about 30 seconds left, right? We were talking about NFL replay just a little bit ago. Do you like replay in all of sports, or would you rather just officials officiate? Where do you stand on it?
I've never been a huge fan of replay. I like the human element for the officials, whether it be a ref or an ump or whatever. I was hard to warm. I was a little late warming up to it, but it's part of the fabric of the sport of the arena nowadays, and it's here to stay. And you know, I would rather it be changed maybe a little bit to where, you know, you only get so many challenges, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, there are some plays that I think need to be reviewed, but I don't think we need as much review as we've seen.
Rock, we'll catch up with you soon. Monday, home opener. We'll see you in town. Good luck and have fun in through Cincinnati and then back home. So,
look forward to it, guys. Look forward to the back and forth all year.
Yes.
Should be a fun year.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy your travels, and we'll see you Monday, John.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Rock.
All right.
Carrick's
so,
finest.
The best. Absolute best guy. He's a guy you want on your side. He's on a team.
He's
on our team. Damn right. The Rock. Love him. Yes. All right. Coming up next, our epic ending. What are you laughing at, Jim? He just cracked up.
He's like, Mike Boguslawski. He's on your
side. Mike Boguslawski just died, by the
way. I know
he
did.
Did you see that?
He's
like
sad.
About 10 days ago, maybe? Yeah. I saw in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Epic ending coming up. What a way. It was his epic ending, I guess. Mike Boguslawski, your corner. Did you? What? Why did you bring up Mike Boguslawski?
Because
if you knew that he just died?
I'd kind of forgotten.
Just happened 10 days
Sorry.
Ago. Oh, my gosh, you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.